Blog Talk Radio.
Well, my. Hello, everybody, and who all ever listens to this thing that I do. boy. I don't know if anybody's watched the news lately, as nasty and discouraging as it might be, but I'm going to play the theme song, and I think you'll like it. Song. That's by Creedence Clearwater Revival, no less. we got enough going on to keep everybody busy for a year trying to scratch it out and cover it up and whatnot. And I'm going to start with a little blurb that brings it all into focus. And I mean brings it all into focus. It all gets worse. Ain't no fun in games. It seems there's no limits to this nightmare. Well, Biden's budget is a nightmare, along with bans on everything, including all guns. And maybe your toaster. How'd you like to have a felony charge for having the wrong kind of a toaster? Ugh. My. Moderna got vax approval from the FDA for mRNA, which causes skeletal deformities. Ooh. Yeah, I don't know if the mice came out with their heads turned upside down or how that worked, but it wasn't nice. And then you got the fun and games of the government going after the people and anything that might have anything to do with something that is decent. Okay, and I don't care if somebody is a Muslim or what they are. If they're offering a service, go for it, especially if they're doing a good service. Well, we'll get to that. municipalities and states are discriminating. Now, you heard me. You want to have some fun? Discriminating against religious-based organizations that try to provide services like adoption. Now, I hate to tell you, but kids need to be adopted. They need to be in a family and all that sort of thing. And the dinks, and I said dinks, that's that. That's when you go to hit a note on the piano and it goes dink. Yeah, well, anyway, too many hospitals are performing illegal medical procedures on kids and providing drugs to change gender. none of these abuses are heard by parents. Now, bear that in mind. They tell the kid, don't tell mom and dad, oh my. Yeah, right. You have dad down there, deep pants and everybody that, you know. Anyway, back to the news. And it ain't good. And it's really funky. You just wait. And this is the Washington Examiner from March 21st. My goodness, and this is the 25th? Yeah, it's a week old. My goodness. Congress must protect faith-based service providers. Now, I want you to, I'm just going to give blurbs because I really got something to say. This came up in mid-March. Now, this is Cuomo bent the apparatus of New York State's government to harass people with traditional values. And that means traditional values exactly, all right? This came up in mid-March when New York was forced to settle a case against New Hope Family Services, a Christian adoption agency, all right? New Hope stuck to its founding religious principle that every child deserves a home with a loving mother and father who are committed to each other through marriage. You know, the old-fashioned definition of marriage, man and a woman. they acted hatefully against New Hope. New York operated on the assumption that it is better to prevent children from being adopted at all than to allow them to be placed through a private Christian service that won't place children with families other than those with traditional husbands and wives. Ooh. And I bet that tightened up the less underwear at least one or two sizes. an organization insists on doing what is best for children, placing them in intact, conventional families with a mother and father married to one another, will be persecuted by a government that wants to shut it down even when it takes no government money. Hello, New York. Wonder why everybody's leaving. They had enough of this crap? Well, guess what? They voting with their feet. Philadelphia litigated a similar case and lost unanimously at the Supreme Court level on First Amendment grounds. Now, what you got to understand is that these people don't know any limits. I wrote that in as a subtitle. It all, in quotations, get worse. Well, there seems to be no limits to this nightmare, and that's a good example. Now, the problem they got there that's going on is that there's no right to adopt children. Ooh. And religious basis for their operations view a stable sacramental marriage as a standard for adoptive parents should therefore not be controversial. Cuomo, hey, Dink, I'm glad you're out of office. You freaking idiot, guess what? You can't do that. It's good to see the federal courts protect faith-based organizations from state discrimination. Congress could do more to protect First Amendment rights. Exactly. Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, introduced the First Amendment Defense Act, which would shield institutions from being discriminated against because of their definition of marriage. Well, you know, I thought that you could be a Muslim or a Christian or a Hebrew or whatever and not have to worry about the practice of your religion. Oh, my goodness. You know what they did? New York screwed up. And New Hope Family Services, being Christian, oh, that just ruined, that makes your underwear shrink even more. And, you know, it, you only get so tight, and then you're going to pop something. the thing about it is that I thought you could practice freedom of religion in the United States. And I just named a whole bunch of things that ain't legal, like hospitals doing mastectomies on little girls, cut their tits off, or maybe neutering the boys, cutting their balls off. Well, I can only take so much, and that's way over the top. But anyway, these are just a few of the things that come about. Biden's budget is a nightmare. Well, blame Biden's spending depositors for bank failures. Now, we're going to come back to bank failures, and you'll see what I mean. There are things going on that people refuse to acknowledge. And some of those things are basic moral principles. Hugo Gurdon, the editor-in-chief of Washington Examiner, he is somebody that I respect a lot for how he says what he says. And I guess I'll go ahead and cover this. It's not that much. I only got two magazines, and I think you're going to like what comes out of it. Just as a rising tide lifts all boats, so ebbing ones sink them closer to the rocks. Economies are the same. When they weaken and recede, everyone will float on them. Savers, wage earners, businesses, banks, gets closer to danger. A few boats moored unwisely are smashed to matchwood. Yeah, we just had some really interesting failures. This is what we're watching now. Think about that very carefully. people can't get people that have businesses can't get somebody to run to work at them because they can't pay the exorbitant price that these people seem to think is something they can require. Who told the federal government they could continuously, without end, pay people not to work? Hello? well, when interest rates rise, fixed-rate paper offering low yields becomes deeply unattractive. Why buy or hold a bond paying only a fraction of what is available in the higher interest rate market? Why would you do it? But the micro-stupidity of SVB, that's Silicon Valley Bank, if you don't know, an astonishing failure to manage its risk should not distract us from a macro understanding that what ruined it and put everybody else in danger was, and still is, the ebbing economic tide. Thanks, Biden. You screwed it up so bad that, it caused substantially by President Joe Biden and his fellow Democrats. Tax and spend money you don't got. You've heard all this before. Tightening money is killing weaker banks and others is not to suggest that raising them was a mistake. Red doesn't mean that raising the interest rate was a mistake. That was the right thing to do. Getting inflation under control was vital. And more broadly, it is important that real rates are high enough to impose a cost on borrowing because cheaper free money encourages careless investing. We've had cheap and free money forever. Look at all these dummies getting that government check. for not doing nothing. Well, maybe we better cut them loose and tell them no and just, you know, leave it at that. Accepting the merit of raising rates does not exonerate those who made them unavoidable by causing the inflationary spiral. Hello, Joe Biden and his Democrat friends. My, my, my. Then you heard all this Putin's price hike. And then you heard some of the truth. The bottom line is that it was the pandering president and his profligate party spending like intoxicated seafarers to bribe voters with their own and their grandchildren's money who brought us to today's crisis. Now, you could believe the crackpot nostrums of modern money theory, or, you know, you've heard the blonde joke. Modern monetary theory is the same thing as the blonde joke. Just because it's the end of the month don't mean that, and I still got checks left, which holds that the United States can print dollars ceaselessly without debauching the currency or devaluing it. Governed as their globe puppet, he spent trillions of dollars, of your dollars, to give the cranks everything on the wish list, backing his actions with such solid arguments as, come on, man. I give you a come on, man, with a two before upside your head. Anyway, don't punish them if you're not a wage earner, not an early saver. Don't have children who will pay for this for the rest of their lives, not a homeowner. Don't own a business or are vulnerable to recession or are not simply a citizen who would like to see America run properly. Everyone else knows where the blame lies and should act accordingly. That does not mean that I am trying to give you permission to go out and shoot politicians, even though it... even though it has become obvious that some of them desperately need a bullet in their Watusi so that every time they sit down, they remember. Maybe that would remind them. I don't know. then you get this trans thing and places like... Wellesley College used to be a good place. The college has always been a haven for those not in a position of power in a patriarchal society. Oh, well, okay. However, if you go through the whole article, and I'm not doing that, Brooks, Rosenwald, and others are merely repeating the tenets of intersectional feminism. Oh, boy. Echoing the idea that feminism isn't just for biological women, but for others who take on their identity and share their oppression. Oh, I can feel the pain. Anyway, Wellesley College mission is to provide an excellent education to women who will make a difference in the world, and that is honorable. But with these problems, we'll see soon the school's mission may be to provide an excellent education for women, non-binary people, transgender men and women, and all others of equal or great oppression who will make a difference in the world. Does that sound screwed up to you? It does to me. What is the worst? I'm shifting gears. What is the worst possible news you could get when trying to fix the growing crime problem in Washington? Would it be the Council of the District of Columbia trying to reduce penalties for violent crimes? Perhaps so. But what about the fact that fewer arrests are resulting in charges than at any time in several years? If you don't arrest people, you don't get charges. Oh. My, my. One reason cases are being dropped is that the district's Department of Forensic Scientists evidence lost its accreditation. That means it can't do its job. And so we often cannot secure the drug testing and DNA and firearms testing we need to successfully prosecute these offenses. That's where it's at already. And they want to get it, they want to make it worse. Finding options. Maybe they will. Right after they try to reduce the penalties for homicide once again. Oh, yeah. You know, you don't, it's a misdemeanor to blow somebody's brains out. Don't you? Didn't you know? inmates are running the higher education asylum. Even a university of once great repute, such as Yale and Harvard, students are closed-minded and irrational. They struggle to comprehend high school-level literature. According to Harvard's Dean of Undergraduate Education, and they are too busy shouting down speakers with views different from their own to consider whether theirs are well-founded. My goodness. They're ill-prepared for the real world, where people with all sorts of beliefs, religions, and backgrounds have to interact and get along, and where challenges are the norm rather than the exception. Woo-hoo. Go ahead and start screaming at somebody on the street because they're a Christian and they have morals and a few other, yes, you know, try it, see how it works. The recent meltdown at Stanford Law School, number two law school in the country, suggests that today's students aren't just frail dopes. They're also despicable bigots. Bigots, yeah, that's right. Well, I wouldn't give them a capital B on that either. At an event hosted by the school's Federalist Society chapter, students shouted down U.S. Circuit Judge Kyle Duncan, hurling profanities at him and preventing him from giving his lecture. That's real intelligent. Every time Duncan tried to speak, students would yell things such as, "Scumbag, you're a liar." One sign brought into the event read, "Duncan, can't find the clit." Eventually, Duncan was forced to move on to a question and answer session, during which the student asked him, "If men, I can find the prostate, why can't you find the clit?" You know, ridiculous stuff. Keep on going. This is how our future lawyers, judges, and scholars conduct themselves. Oh, my, my, my. There should be limits on things like that. And I think that these people need to be expelled. Yeah, that's right. I don't care if mommy and daddy's rich. I don't care if you think you got everything under control. You don't. Specifically your big mouth and yourself. You never have done anything. You wouldn't be a student. Oh, boy. If Stanford Law School had any self-respect, it would expel every one of the students involved in this shameful display. But since that's not going to happen, the law industry should do the next best thing and refuse to give them jobs. Hey, yeah, you got a degree. Goody. And then after your display of stupidity, I can imagine, everybody can picture this, of some dummy getting in court and hollering at the judge like that. At least two federal judges have already committed not to hire clerks from law schools that refuse to uphold free speech on campus. Yay, Rob. Every major law firm and court bench should do the same, lest we find ourselves in a society run by petty despots who think sexual insults are an appropriate form of communication. See what I mean? It all gets worse. Well, Democrats defunded Memphis police. Here's what happened next. After Michael Brown was shot in the act of assaulting a police officer, the Democrat-controlled city of Memphis, Tennessee, slashed pension benefits for its police department. Real intelligent. City officials also vowed to change a police force that was 47% white into something that better reflected a city that was only 27% white. Anyway, these are they got pictures of all these so-called officers. All five of the officers charged with the brutal beating and murder of Tyre Nichols joined the department under the new lower standards. My. there were several officers in the group with Tyre Nichols that everybody wondered about when they were in the academy. Yeah, reap what you sow. Then you got Janet Yellen. Oh, boy. What a liar. I can reassure the members of the committee that our banking system remains sound and that Americans can feel confident that their deposits will be there when they need them. Really? Are you going to print the money? My. Well, we got right and wrong about Iraq. And that's a long story, but I'll give you the headline. Mopping up three illicit weapons programs likely saved countless lives. What we got wrong? America's failures were of the mind, not the heart. Oh, boy. Sometimes it seemed that we did everything in our power to make our both freedom and democracy distasteful to the people we liberated, as, for example, at Abu Ghraib. What's the most important lesson of the Iraq War? My. the most important lesson of the Iraq War. You can't do it that way and have it work. Next. How long did we spend over there? Most days we weren't hunting terrorists, certainly none who posed a direct threat to our homeland, and were instead acting as a police force in a foreign country. This is neither what the U.S. Marine Corps is meant to do, nor what our nation expects us to do. Barack Obama. Barack Obama campaigned on ending the war. And we withdrew in 2011, and Iraq predictably and tragically unraveled. Domestic politics dictate whether we overcome wartime challenges with sober judgment or lose our will and succumb to them. Well, guess what? It ain't cool to have a war. War is good for absolutely nobody. Main lesson of the Iraq War is one that every conservative should have already known. Dramatic changes to complex systems will yield unexpected results, most of which are bad. About that. Think about that. Saddam Hussein was there too. Oh boy. There's too much stuff for any one individual to handle. I just been reporting on some of it, and it's created some fun and games just on the reporting of it. Now we get to the fun part. Bank failures add to Biden's game of economic whack-a-mole. Now, if you ain't ever seen a whack-a-mole game, go down to Chucky's Pizza and practice. Oh, boy. And what he's going to do, I'm going to ask Congress and the banking regulators to strengthen the rules for banks to make it less likely that this kind of bank failure will happen again and to protect American jobs and small businesses. That's from Biden, and that's BS. That boy hasn't done anything positive with anything he's done except he opened up one oil drilling complex. You did that right. The rest of it, not so much. Boy, oh boy, here's a three-star. Manchin exploring federal nuclear market to keep reactors online. Nuclear advocates preach atomic energy is the ultimate climate change solution, because it is carbon-free. Yeah? What do you do with the spent fuel rods? Do you know how to fix that? I do, and I'm just a podunk lives in the woods. Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat of West Virginia, said he's looking into developing a federal program whereby ratepayers across the country share in the cost of maintaining the nation's fleet of nuclear reactors, several of which retired in recent years due largely to higher costs of operation compared to other generating sources like coal. You know, we got coal popping up out of the ground. How Congress can open up America's healthcare markets. There are some things, I mean, you know, this is a good magazine, believe me, but there are a whole bunch of things that are a lot more important than some of the subjects covered here. Now, future of all volunteer army is in peril as Gen Z shuns military service. You gotta bend over and let us stick a big needle in your whatevers. That don't go over very well. You don't find too many things that are positive about the present condition of our military. Negative depiction and conversation about our service members in the media, social media, pop culture have all become unbalanced, inaccurate, quite frankly, unjust. Yeah. For the majority, yes. President from Walmart, no. Oh, boy. Then you got media malpractice. Now, this is going to get into the fun and games I'm going to cover at the other end of the show about finance, money, and a bunch of other things. This is Adams. Now, Beckett Adams is a columnist for the Washington Examiner and National Review, also the program director of the National Journalism Center. He knows his stuff very well, and yet he doesn't back down or back off on things either. And his column is called Media Malpractice. Journalists jumped the gun on praising Biden's bank bailout. Really? Between the years 2015 and 2020, legacy journalism was in a state of constant outrage for Donald Trump's manhandling of the press. Guess what, press? The press that's referred to here, you deserve every inch of it. And then some. An attack on one is an attack on all. Members of the press would shout following Trump's anti-media tirades. Well, you don't have to let them know what's going on either. And somebody got that proved to them just recently. Various Democratic officials continue to attack journalist Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger, both of whom have reported extensively on Twitter's pre-Elon Musk relationship with the federal government. Oh, you are exposing our dirty laundry. Shame on you. At a recent congressional hearing in which Taibbi and Schellenberger were appeared as witnesses, Democratic officials berated and slandered the two journalists, taking an unfavorable view of their joint efforts to report on the federal government's attempt to censor Twitter users via direct coordination with a social media giant. Remember, you heard about them calling them up and saying, uh-huh. The legacy press response to these attacks, a collective yawn. I'm not exaggerating when I say that you have called before you two witnesses who pose a direct threat to people who oppose them. I don't blame them for self-defense. Uh-oh, here we go. Enemy of the people, again. Plaskett also characterized Abby and Sean Burns as fake news reporters. Really? I put you under the bus, referring to them as so-called journalists. Representative Sylvia Garcia, Democrat, Texas, suggested Tabley and Shelburne have been paid to provide congressional testimony. Really? I wonder how many times you've been paid. My. Something insidious about the fact that Tabby makes a living from his reporting, as if receiving paid subscriptions for his Substack newsletter implies he is suspect or untrustworthy. Well, that must mean that all of the people that have any kind of financial interest in it are also suspect and untrustworthy. Wait until she finds out the New York Times annual revenue in 2022 was $2.3 billion. Whoa. The press's collective shrug is all it got. These stories are clearly newsworthy. Referring to his coverage of the so-called Twitter files. Yeah, well, Twitter files are still coming out. There is total unconcern about it. Normally, when you get a big story, you want the cavalry to come to help investigate. Nobody did. Ooh, and I think that's been a very troubling aspect. This idea of journalists sticking up for one another and sticking up for civil liberties, which used to be a no-brainer issue in this profession, it's gone. It's just something that has disappeared entirely from the business. Unrelated to the fact that Tabby has run afoul of Democrats? I don't think so. Silicon Valley Bank, getting into it. But that's before the next main article's on the subject. Which was patronized mostly by venture capitalists and tech startups, collapsed last week. Now, remember, this is March 21st, so that would have been the week of the 18th. My. And listen to this closely. Silicon Valley Bank, which was patronized mostly by venture capitalists and tech startups, collapsed last week. When depositors sought to withdraw their funds en masse. You need to write that down. Do you realize what you can do to a bank if you take all your money out and everybody joins in with you? We're just going to take it out for a day. They're leaving $10 in there to keep the account open. We'll see you next week. Do that on Wednesday. Come back next Wednesday and make a deposit. December 22, 2022, SVB held $209 billion. In total assets. Now it's getting a bailout. That's right. The only problem with it is that the idiot in charge of things has said that they're going to cover all of the losses. Guess what? FDIC has a $250,000 limit. Ooh. Including, 100 pressure from various Democrats, including Governor Gavin Newsom, Democrat who has a financial stake in this SVB. The White House announced Marshoff that all depositors at the failed bank would have access to the money come Monday morning. The Treasury will backstop all deposits at SVB, not just deposits of up to $250,000 insured by the FDIC. Guess what? You do that, that's illegal. I'll prefer charges because you're screwing with the banking system. Federal Reserve also created an emergency lending program. Ooh. The Washington Free Beacon reports this, to keep other financial institutions afloat when they run low on cash. Oh, man. Yeah, well, there's a bunch of them that are running out of cash already, and that loan program, that emergency lending program, it ain't kicked in. My. And then there's some BS about Politico published a report titled How Biden Saved Silicon Valley Startups. Inside the 72 Hours That Transformed U.S. Banking. A historic rescue of a distressed industry came together rapidly, reshaping the government's relationship with banks in far-reaching ways. It sure did, like outside the law. I thought that we had a government, and not you know, and it wasn't the mob that ran it, but apparently, anyway, the administration managed to calm markets after a day of turbulence. The cut into bank stocks. Oh, okay. We won't. Guess what? We're not going to know until next week how bad it is. Prevent panic that might result in countless Americans withdrawing money. Ooh, I want my money now. Which could have created damaging instability to the financial system. And I wrote right down, right next to it, ongoing. Yeah, that's right. It ain't stopped yet. Tone and tenor of the reporting of the victory laps being taken by people such as Harwood feels just a tad premature. First, we're not out of the woods yet. Not according to the global markets, at least. Credit Suisse announced on March 15th its plans to borrow an estimated $54 billion to calm investors and growing concerns about the health of the global banking system. Concerns that don't appear to have calmed by the rescue of SVB. Second, recent history. Lehman Brothers ceased operations on September 15, 2008. On September 16th, one day after Lehman's bankruptcy, the Federal Reserve bailed out American International Group, AIG, you heard about it, with an $85 billion two-year loan. Uh-huh. Then you got 2 weeks later, on September 29th, the House of Representatives rejected the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act of 2008. Same day, the stock market fell some 777 points, greatest intraday trading drop at that point in history. Ooh, world stock market indices worldwide fell by an estimated 10%. Thus began the Great Recession. There are at least 2 weeks between Lehman's collapse and the date commonly cited as the start of the global financial crisis. Let's put at least a little distance between the White House, SVB bailout, and the results. Think about it. Bear it in mind. Oh, boy. I'm bypassing some full-page articles to get to the one-on-one. Oh, boy. Bitcoin. The surge comes after cryptocurrencies fell dramatically in the spring and summer of last year as the Fed hiked interest rates. Uh-huh. Guess what? Bitcoin doesn't have any value. No, I don't care if somebody says different. They're a liar. Very simple. Uh-oh. Now we got Stephen Moore, an economist, knows his stuff, inside, outside, upside, backwards, and whatever. Michigan is headed back to the rust poverty. Really? My goodness. Since the early days of Henry Ford, Michigan was the proud symbol of America's industrial might. Oh, boy. Starting in the 1970s, things went south. In part because of the might of the unions that ran the state's political machine. Oh, I thought the union was to protect workers and not play politics. Well, anyway, that just The American Rust Belt, Flint, Michigan, became a ghost town. And it's still that way. From the 70s to the early 2000s, Detroit lost nearly half its population. Think about that. Poor and minority residents fled the area's crime, lousy schools, high unemployment, and political corruption. There you go. Everybody needs to get out of there. Okay. If you travel to Florida or Arizona, you saw lots of Michigan license plates. One big reform was Michigan became a right-to-work state. Oh, boy. Few states rose on economic competitiveness faster than the home of the Wolverines. And that's Michigan, by the way. Prosperity returned. Now the shine is off the engine. Uh-oh. Democrats took back control of the politics in the state, and the first thing they did was repeal right to work. A big wet kiss to the union bosses for all those campaign contributions. You can just hear it. Slobbering run down there. Right to work is the law of the land in 26 states. These laws do not prohibit unions. There are many unions in these states. Right to work simply means the workers cannot be compelled, forced, to join a union. Democrats are falsely advertising this as a restoration of workers' rights. That's a bald-faced lie. To keep your job in Michigan, you must join the union, and you must pay dues to the union bosses. Ooh. And all the workers' union has been plagued with corruption, including massive pay packages to the union leaders. And look, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not anti-union. Some places need a union to protect the workers. That's supposed to be what they do. But anyway, this bill will not only take away the right to choose for Michigan workers, but it will also do great damage to the state's economy. States that have right-to-work laws create jobs at an almost twice the pace of states with forced union policies. Now, think about that. Many businesses won't even consider locating a new factory or blue-collar operation in a forced union state. The auto jobs in America will now accelerate their move to the southern states, which happens to be right-to-work. You step in front of a frying pan into the fire. Here we go. Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Democrat Michigan, a student of the unions, will sign the bill into law. And Michigan is about to see a return of the Rust Belt era. The Communist Party of America put out a press release celebrating the demise of right to work in Michigan. I'm going to do that one again. The Communist Party of America put out a press release celebrating the demise of right to work in Michigan. Lord have mercy. They note correctly that Michigan is now the first state in more than half a century to turn back the clock and force union chains on workers. I thought that only the people that were slaves got to wear chains. Most states have been moving in the opposite direction. What is sadly ironic about this endorsement is that throughout the 20th century, the unions in America were staunchly anti-communist. It was like Walesa, or however you pronounce it, the Polish union organizer who stood up to the evil communist government that tried to outlaw unions. He and President Ronald Reagan and the AFL-CIO helped defeat the evil empire. AFL-CIO, a union. Now the communists in America cheer on the unions as they sow the seeds of their own demise, as well as the demise of a once mighty state. Now, that's a combination of economics and politics. And you got consulting ourselves to death. Yes, we are. You don't need 15 consultants to run something. The lottery scam in 2006, almost 40% of households with incomes under $25,000 believe their best means of accumulating several hundred thousand dollars in their lifetime was through the lottery. The only problem is you got to win that sucker to get there. Oh, boy. You'd be amazed. Oh, my. Here's Hugo Gurdon again. Oh, my goodness. He got a whole column. guess what York says? Ron DeSantis in the mainstream on Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Well, how has America been too slow to wake up to the China threat? The answer is yes. That's obvious. Its thoroughness in achieving global goals is no joking matter now that China is systematically running itself with real communism, but has instead metamorphed into a non-ideological tyranny, advancing with ruthless pragmatism across the entire Cold War battlefront to displace America as a top nation. Napoleon is repeated to say China is a sickly, sleeping giant, but once she awakens, the world will tremble. Very late, the world has started to tremble, and America has started to wake up. No matter where you look, Beijing is probing her weaknesses and seizing advantages. Back in the Hong Kong days, things was different. China now has that navy that was that they supposedly couldn't even get to, which is at least the second most powerful in the world for conventional surface warfare, but it has much more. It has built artificial islands on disputed reefs in the South China Sea and equipped them with landing strips and missile batteries. It has, as it were, created facts on the water. Ooh, my, my. Each move stayed below the threshold of provoking conflict, but incrementally changed both the graphic geography and the balance of power in the area. Incrementalism is the key. They're sneaking up on you. Watch your six. I posted a song called Resist. If you didn't get to see it, it's posted several places on Skype. These are shocking individually, but China also celebrates them to a nicety so they will get a pass from our weak and distracted leadership in Washington. Yeah, must be talking about Bozo the Clown. Whatever it will, what it never until recently seemed to produce was a clear denunciation of unambiguous statement. That was a challenge that we would meet. Ooh. Now, TikTok's in here. China runs a popular social media app, TikTok, and collects American user data for the People's Liberation Army and drives wedges between people, splitting the country. Yeah, that's what you're doing. Most manufactured goods we buy are made at least partly in China. It will be immensely hard to get the public to understand the importance of abandoning the convenience and low costs we have become accustomed to, let alone accept the pain it would involve. Well, guess what? We're at war. And there ain't no amount of fun and games that will fix that easily, okay? Let's see where we are. I'm going to play a song. I'm going to give you all a break, and then I'm going to hit an area everybody wants to know about. So enjoy. I think it's a bad song. I think it's cool as hell. If you haven't seen the movie, Hell or High Water, you ought to see it. And the reason I say that is because that song happens to be the theme song of that movie. My, here we go. There's Green with his silly grin on his face. Biden is pulling the reverse ferret, better known as snafu, to some old military people or people that have been schooled in some of the military. The frontrunners for the Republicans' 2024 nomination denounced the Democrats' Ukrainian proxy war as doomed, expensive, and strategically dim. So did the pack of single-digit candidates, though former Vice President Mike Pence and one-time UN Ambassador Nikki Haley still approved. They agreed. You know why they agreed? Real simple. Used to be that candidates expressed policy statements at the time of their choosing in place such as a think tank lecture or black tie dinner. Now it is Fox News host Tucker Carlson who asks the questions and the candidates who jump to attention. And his and I got to thank you, Tucker. You put out a bunch of January 6th tapes, much to the terrible chagrin of people who are bought and paid for. You're getting the job done. Shows how narrow the debate over Ukraine has been and how irreversible the changes of 2016 are. The Republican Party is a two-ring circus, the party against the people. Trump and Carlson are ringmasters at the base. The party in Washington are the clowns. Send in Pence, Haley, Senator Lindsey Graham, calling for more war on Russia's doorstep. There's only one problem with that. We're running out of bullets. Not just Ukraine, but us. We're running out of rockets and stuff to send over there. It would be especially clownish to go all in now when the administration is belatedly beginning to acknowledge the extent of its policy. This week, here comes Politico, growing difference behind the scenes between Washington and Kiev. Unnamed White House officials are complaining that Zelensky has shown appropriate gratitude for all the cash and weapons. The Ukrainians are sapping U.S. patience and supplies. They seem determined to retake Crimea. They insist on fighting in Bakhmut, as City Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says, has more symbolic value than strategic and operational value. Ooh, now you got unnamed U.S. officials told New York Times that the Nord Stream 2 pipeline explosion was likely the work of a pro-Ukrainian group. Same officials suggested that Ukraine and its allies had the most logical potential motive to attack the pipelines. But isn't Ukraine's biggest ally the United States? Or was that last week? See, you got to keep up on these things. And this thing's about a week old, and that'll give you an idea. Leaks to Politico and the New York Times show the White House is preparing for retreat. Now, you think about that. Oh, boy. Biden promised no more drilling. Germany now says it's promised increase in defense spending may take decades to implement. Think about that. Biden promised no more drilling at home. To treat Saudi Arabia as a pariah and open Iran's energy exports to the West by reviving an Iran deal. But the Ukraine war's squeeze on energy markets sent him begging to the Saudis to turn on please, come on, man, fill up my bucket, which they refused to do. Think about that. It tipped Iran into a military alliance with Russia. Oink. Has united Iran and Saudi Arabia in an energy alliance with China. How funky do you got to get, Biden, before you do something other than crap your pants because you forgot to ask your wife if it was time to take a dump? I mean, come on, brother, let's go. As the war comes home this week, Biden, in reverse ferret, that would shame the most shameless of ferret reversers, approved the Willow Oil Drilling Project in Alaska. My, my, my. Meanwhile, on the frontiers of democracy, Russian jets had an air miss with an American drone in international airspace over the Black Sea. U.S. European Command condemned a Russian jet dumping its fuel on the drone as environmentally unsound. Laugh at the clowns while you can. They're running us in the ground. And it don't look good. Believe me, it don't look good. What we're going to be dealing with, and I don't know who all watches the news anymore, but I got one more magazine. And I don't know that you're going to like her, not like what it says, but I think we'll start with the editor who led it. Good old William Falk. Did you know that Silicon Valley Bank imploded because it was woke? Oh, my. Or that masks provide absolutely no protection against COVID? Or that SARS-CoV-2 was created in a Chinese lab by sinister Bat Lady in cahoots with Dr. Anthony Fauci? Ooh. Millions of Americans believe all these statements to be proven fact, despite being unsupported by actual evidence, because that's what they've been told by Tucker Carlson. Hey, Tucker, keep them up. And the far-right infotainment system, which knowingly lies to its audience for profit and power. Ooh. Now, I'm going to tell you that the news gets stretched, but it doesn't go as far as what Mr. Falk seems to think and his leftist, Marxist, yellow sheet here seems to indicate things are worse than they are. Oh, my, 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 my. So, since the audience wants to believe the lie, it will happily add a big dollop of information, confirmation bias, transforming misinformation into blind certainty. Oh, you don't believe in evidence. That sounds about right, William. Take masking. People who equate masks with tyranny recently seized on a meta-analysis of 78 studies as proof the masks are of no value whatsoever, which is true. Let's see. Provided strong evidence that good masks block viral particles. Oh, yeah? That's not what I've been told. As for the lab leak theory, there's zero known evidence that SARS was created in a lab and escaped from one. Want to bet? A certain person I know in the intel industry just happens to have the documentation for exactly that. Ooh. No financial institution can run exclusively by white men has ever acted stupidly, right? And I added just you with a little arrow pointing to his name. Oh, boy. SVB's meltdown prompts federal rescue. Lies and BS is what I titled the FDIC 250K limit. Federal, it's political, and the rescue is illegal. My goodness. How deep are we going to get in this? We're going to get as deep as it needs to be. What happened? As the Biden administration scrambled to limit the political and market fallout from the nation's second largest bank failure in history. Federal regulators stepped in to rescue all the bank's depositors. They can't do that. When SVB, which catered primarily to Silicon Valley venture capitalists and tech startup companies, collapsed last Friday as panicked depositors pulled out $42 billion in a single day. The banks invested heavily in low-interest, long-term treasury bonds that lost value as interest rates climbed, forcing it to sell $21 billion in bonds at a steep loss. Planned stock sale to raise cash sparked fear among depositors, including well-known venture capitalists who aired their worries on Twitter, leading to a run on the bank. Now, bear that in mind. Now, SVB was just the tip of the iceberg. Federal regulators announced on Sunday the government would guarantee all deposits at SVB and at a second failing bank, Signature Bank of New York, not just the $250,000 per depositor covered by federal deposit insurance. Well, break the law and we'll come after you. How about that? I know some people are just chomping at the bit wanting to get yelling out of there. Wary of taxpayer anger over risk and wealthy venture capitalists, President Biden and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen took pains to emphasize that bank executives and stockholders would lose their jobs and their money and that taxpayers were not footing the bill to rescue depositors. Oh, yeah? I didn't know that the FDIC had $100 billion in their pocket to play games with. Oh, Biden says no losses will be borne by the taxpayers. Oh, yeah? Where are you getting the money? You can't print it because that's been stopped. Publishers criticized the rescue as a bailout, with many arguing that the root problem was that SVB was a woke bank, overly focused on diversity and inclusion. Guess what? They were. Guess what? They partied. There's only one person at that bank that had any kind of serious banking experience. And he didn't intervene. What the editorial said, Biden and his regulators can indulge in semantics all they want. That's Wall Street Journal. But make no mistake, this was a de facto bailout. Typical bank failure, depositors would get their money back with a 15 to 20% haircut. Hardship for many, to be sure, but the $250,000 limit was known. Oh, boy. Now that the administration has stepped in to make every depositor whole, they've created a moral hazard, rewarding foolish risk-taking and bad management. How much can the banking system take? From now on, rescuing all depositors will be the default policy. Think about that very carefully. From now on, rescuing all depositors will be the default policy. Ooh-ee. Here we go again, the New York Times. 15 years after the 2008 bailout sparked populist fear, the federal government is once again stepping in to rescue banks that made risky bets. Americans have every right to be furious. Their anger shouldn't be directed at the bailout itself, which was needed to prevent a larger run on other banks, but at the regulatory failure that got us here. They knew about this stuff. This is 23, figure 5 years or better. Yeah, think about it. 2018 legislation signed by then-President Trump, loosening the Dodd-Frank scrutiny for banks of SVB's size. Policymakers must be clear about the steps they will take to avoid a repeat. It's real simple. And loosening those regulations was a good idea. What the columnist says, Silicon Valley's Small government libertarians have sure have a chutzpah. That's from the Times. The same tech titans who've long called government regulators a drag on their innovative spirit suddenly clamored for a federal rescue when their millions were on the line. Well, I see you get in their pocket and they pay attention. Bipartisan 2018 bill, weakening oversight of mid-sized banks, to strongly supported by SVB CEO Greg Becker, who told Congress banks his size present no systemic risks. And it keeps on going. Now, Biden and his team have set a dangerous precedent. They surely have. After the 2008 financial collapse popularized the concept of too big to fail, they now dramatically lowered the bar for federal intervention. Clear signal that investors and financial institutions don't need to worry about making risky bets, because if things go south, the government will swoop in and clean up the mess and save your butt. Uh-huh. They're trying to sell SVB in pieces because nobody can afford the mess. SVB's failure has shown that the checks and balances of the market will not deter foolish, irresponsible bankers. Medium-sized banks, through regular stress tests to assess whether they can withstand recessions, big changes in interest rates, or other crises. That's what needs to be done. You need to put them all through it. Republicans can't admit more regulation of banks is needed. Oh, yes, they can. They have to at one point or another, and that's coming. They've united around the claim that wokeness is to blame for SVB's failure, citing its pledges to promote diversity, which all the big banks also say they support. There's not a shred of evidence that SVB became over-leveraged in federal bonds because it was woke. Yes, it is. But this deeply weird argument fills the howling void that exists where a coherent Republican analysis of the issue ought to be. Really? Yeah, well. Then you got Biden proposes budget that spends more on taxes rich. And I only wrote one comment. DOA. Dead on arrival. Now they're talking about Tucker Carlson. He's devoted half a page to the man. It's no surprise to other media people that Tucker Carlson, the Fox News primetime star and host of the highest rated show on cable television, doesn't believe half the things he says on the show. Really? Obvious truth can now be enjoyed more widely. A trove of documents released last week from Dominion Voting Systems' $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit against Fox includes a slew of texts and emails in which Carlson shares his candid feelings about former President Donald Trump. Well, Tucker says, to supposedly, "I hate him passionately," Carlson wrote, calling his presidency a disaster to which there isn't really an upside. Well, you're about to find out. Cameras rolled, however. Carlson took the same wildly pro-Trump stance that informs his current effort to recast the January 6th attempted coup as a peaceful protest of patriots doing some sightseeing inside the Capitol. And he ran that stuff, and some people that I had at one point trusted, I no longer trust. Now, they got a good week for Russian conscripts. 10,000 who provided personal information to Ukrainian confidential phone hotline for Russian soldiers who want to surrender discreetly. Oh, boy. Callers to the I Want to Live line are greeted with the words, "Hi, I'm listening," and assure that they will be listed as captured. Ooh, 10,000. My, my, my. Yep. And then they're supposed to arrest Trump on Tuesday. And this is Saturday already. And then they postponed it until next week. And the problem with in between that is that everybody found out that it was a personal expenditure. Ooh. And there's not much that you can do about it. abortion pill ban in Texas. Anti-abortion medical organizations urged a federal judge this week to suspend the Food and Drug Administration approval of mifepristone, a drug used for more than half of legal U.S. abortions. The Justice Department, arguing on FDA's behalf, said doing so would be unprecedented and that the FDA has repeatedly found mifepristone to be safe since it was first approved in 2000. Can't do it then. Oh, boy. Trans Rift. Wellesley, Massachusetts. The students of Wellesley College voted this week in a non-binding referendum to open admissions to the historically women-only college to trans men and any non-binary students, escalating in class with administrators who opposed the move. Well, they're going to find out the hard way. Pence has a big mouth. This is BS, but here it is. History will hold Donald Trump accountable for inciting the Capitol attack. No, it won't. Why? It can't. you need to go to law school. Rare mass shooting in Hamburg. Gunman armed with a semi-automatic pistol shot and killed six people last week at a Jehovah's Witness meeting hall in Hamburg. Where these idiots with guns think they can get off and stay free after they take people's lives? the right to go topless. Berlin state government last week announced new rules explicitly permitting women to swim topless in municipal pools. Yeah. Bring your camera, man. We get some good pictures. two Russian fighter jets forced down an American reconnaissance drone over the Black Sea this week in the first direct clash between the U.S. and Russia since the Ukraine war started a year ago. And I tell you right now that there are people telling the president to approve shooting down your fighters. Think about that. Pakistan resisting with police trying to arrest Imran Khan, the former crib star and ex-prime minister, this week at his home in Lahore, retreated after being blocked by hundreds of his angry supporters. Don't lick the sushi. That's Tokyo. world's biggest arms importers. New Delhi. For the second five-year period in a row, India remains the world's most prolific importer of weapons. A report released this week by the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute shows. My, my, my. And it just keeps going. And here's the thing, the truth about alcohol. Nearly half Americans admit to recent binge drinking. Ooh, what it does is it raises the risk of cancer and heart attacks. That's about it. Then you got Georgia's assault on prosecutors. Could Georgia's state legislature fire a prosecutor for indicting Donald Trump? Yes, they can. The legislation, which is yet to be signed by Governor Brian Kemp, would create a commission that would have the power to investigate, discipline, and even remove district attorneys if anyone alleges that their prosecution decisions are politically motivated. Man, you better think about it. With this weapon, Republicans could also intimidate district attorneys into aggressively prosecuting abortion laws and remove them if they refuse. We're going to see how that goes. McCarthy can see or hear no evil. If ignorance is bliss, Kevin McCarthy must be in nirvana. Ask the House Speaker about any nutty act or comment involving Donald Trump or his mega House members, and rest assured, McCarthy hasn't read it, hasn't seen it, or heard about it. I don't believe you either. I didn't see that. I gave Tucker Carlson exclusive access to security footage of the January 6th insurrection. The Fox News demagogue claimed the January 6th mob was mostly peaceful. And it was. Spineless McCarthy, huh? Okay. Spineless McCarthy, however, has obviously concluded that the only way to preserve his own power is to support Fox News in its sabotaging of this country. Yeah, well, now I can. He put up a listing of people that were objecting to the truth, which the video shows. Now think about this very carefully. And there's a whole bunch of people in there that, you know, Schumer, I expect that. But the people he posted it, I tell you what they need to do. And that's to remove them from office. Why we won't miss Zeman. The Czech Republic has finally rid of Miloš Zeman. Our third post-communism president is stepping down after 10 years in office, but the damage has been done. Won't quickly be repaired. Georgia. Gen Z. Now, I want you to think about this very carefully. This is a quickie headline. Gen Z rejects Russia and embraces Europe. Freedom-loving young Georgians have forced the government to its knees. Last week, thousands of them poured into the streets to protest two proposed laws requiring media and civic groups that get grants from international sources to register as agents of foreign influence. Well, there's a problem. The ruling party's leader, who is also a law professor at university, found himself locked out of his office this week. Scrawled on the door were the words, Generation Z is watching you. Making gay Ugandans a scapegoat. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if you're gay or not. It doesn't matter to me. As long as you don't try to force that on me or thinking I'm going to have to put up with some form of it. Yeah, just that simple. Iran, where even former loyalists are protesting. Oops. The ongoing woman life freedom protests in Iran may have reached a tipping point. The mass protests calling for the fall of the regime have been a grassroots affair. A prominent opposition leader has joined the calls for a new constitution, merely soften, not abolish Iran's theocratic regime. Oh, really? Led the Green Movement against the rigged election. Ooh, my goodness, they got rigged elections. I thought the United States, I thought only Donald Trump got rigged elections. My. he never called for regime change until now. Iranian. Late-stage totalitarianism is already showing all the hallmark symptoms of a legitimacy crisis, from corruption and economic malaise to a brain drain to spiritual disenchantment with among the faithful. Mussolini's defection presents a historical opening for the for democratic change, especially if opposition figures follow. Ooh. Now here's something that pisses me off. Daylight savings time, move the clock forward, move the clock back. What good does that do? Nothing. And the insanity, said everybody. The Sunshine Protection Act, create permanent daylight saving time. I like it. 2/3 of Americans say they'd like to eliminate the semi-annual time change. Oh, yeah. 10 million Americans would go to work at school in darkness. Aw. Morning light is the human reset button for our internal circadian clocks. Well, then you better, then they need to adjust their hours of operation to fit the morning light. Hello. daylight saving time, we should consider eliminating it, not standard time. A lot of evidence makes a good case for adopting permanent standard time nationwide. Yes, indeedy. Masks. This is BS. What the science really shows. The proof is in. Masks don't work. Uh-oh. Hand washing and disinfection during prior flu outbreaks does. Yeah. Mask wearing, a sign of political identity. Ooh. In states like Alabama, South Dakota, where masks are widely viewed as stupid nanny state face diapers, a mask mandate achieves nothing. It's not unlike advising Americans to eat broccoli instead of Twinkies. If most people stick with the junk food, it is possible, though simplistic, to conclude vegetables don't work. Then they got this article called Woke. What does it really mean? It means Marxism. That's the that's the real definition. Republicans have made opposition to woke ideology a cornerstone of their political agenda, as well as should. That narrow culture war focus could backfire, leaving them out of touch with most Americans. That's a lie. You tell me you got to wake up kids by indoctrinating them with horse hockey. Two definitions of woke, and 56% of respondents chose the positive one, to be informed, educated on, and aware of social injustices. That's cool. Only 39% picked to be overly politically correct and police others' words. Oh, okay. Term originated in the black community to refer to awareness of racial injustice, but the right, oh, that's all the right, guys, but the right has turned it into a catch-all insult for any progressive idea, which is what it really is. Governor DeSantis even imposed authoritarian book bans and speech codes, make his state the place where woke goes to die. Well, the book bans, I've seen those pornographic garbage that you call books. Teach people how to have oral sex at the age of 3 or 4 or 5. Yeah, right. beyond the GOP base, the message falls flat. That's BS. you don't have to be. You don't have to be involved with the Republican Party to keep your sanity. Oh boy. Washington Post asked how they'd take being called woke themselves. A plurality of respondents viewed it more as an insult than a compliment. Republicans associate the word with social justice warriors who advocate racial equality policies they view as entirely unacceptable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Smart enough to know it when they see it. Uh-huh. Means believing it, that racial and gender identities define us, and it's Systemic injustice can only be addressed with otherworldly speech codes, whether wealth redistribution and programs of re-education. Wokeness is revolutionary. And when its meaning is made specific and concrete, most voters are repulsed. Critical race theory, indeed. Oh, boy. God bless it. Most Americans oppose the use of gender-neutral pronouns and treatment of trans teens with puberty blockers and hormones. The majority blames woke politicians for the increase in crime. That's true. Majority is not comfortable with the aggressive anti-woke policies of politicians such as DeSantis. Well, good. You need to go be uncomfortable in, well, I don't know. How about Chicago? That's a good place. Or San Francisco or New York. I mean, there's lots of places you can go. 76%, including a whopping 66% of Republicans, oppose state bans on books in schools. And 66% oppose bans on employee diversity training. People don't want to be shamed by or canceled by the woke mob. But they also don't want the heavy hand of the government telling people what they can say and do. Oh, well, you better get rid of the Democrats. let's see here. Oh, yeah. Everything, everywhere, all at once. You guys looking at the newspaper and it's full of all kind of everything? And he says, I'll say. One of their jokes. Final frontier, preparing for our satellite war. We had best get on the ball. Securing your Twitter. Yeah, well, my Twitter's secure. Diabetes, obesity, sore in young adults. How about that? How about that? My. Who guards the Guardian? Our password and manager safe? Multiple security breaches at LastPass, in which hackers last saw remotely accessed backups of customer vaults, encrypted bundles of site login credentials, payment info, secure notes, and more. Ooh. And it's just the attack didn't affect any master passwords or the one crucial password. LastPass asks you to remember that links to your account. Well, it's not just LastPass. All of them are having problems. Oh, boy. Stress makes you stupid. Well, only if you act out on it. Saving time. This is Book of the Week. Saving time. Discovering a life behind the clock. What if the problem is the way we think about time? Maybe we need to learn how to think a little better. Maybe that's the gist of it. Now, let's see it. I got one more. Oh, my goodness. Iowa? No, I'm not living in Iowa. Ain't got enough money to get me to do that. Oh, boy, here we go. Zuckerberg. This is the 24th now. That's when this is going on. Well, cutting back. Meta plans more layoffs. Another 10,000, another 11,000, another this many. And mercy. Finance. Credit Suisse turmoil rolls world banks. Well, there's more to it than that, but yeah. Court sized Uber on labor rules. Good. bankruptcy for regional sports networks. Diamond Sports Group, the largest owner of regional sports television networks, filed for bankruptcy protection this week, raising questions about who will air MLB, NBA, and NHL games. Yeah, think about that. Biden vows veto of limits on ESG. Well, I hate to tell you, bozo, that's Biden. they're going to tell you what to do on that, and you're going to abide by it. And if you don't, you're liable to disappear. Ooh. Oh, boy. ESG funds, 7 in 10 say that restrictions on ESG funds interfered excessively with the market. Yeah, with the ESG market. what happens? Fed rules. Be careful about breaking the banks. Ooh. Running back at SVB, there is a saying that the Federal Reserve raises interest rates until something breaks. Central Bank raises rates to fight inflation by slowing the economy through tighter financial conditions. Interest rate changes build up slowly. Can be akin to getting ketchup out of a glass bottle. Smack the bottle repeatedly leads to no results. Then too much of the condiment pours out. Shake and shake the ketchup bottle first a little, then a lot. That's something my dad made up. I like that. value of the bonds SVB was holding and the cryptocurrency that Signature Bank was holding deteriorated at rates as rates rose. That's what started all this. By executing the steepest rate hike campaign since the 1980s, the Fed is oversteering the economy, not just off the highway, right off a cliff. Oh, yeah. The Fed is so wounded for being late and dismissive over inflation in 2021 that it's still fighting the last war and ignoring evidence that prices are falling across the economy from housing to commodities. You ain't been to the grocery lately. Continued tightening of monetary policy is a surefire recipe for disaster. Oh, yeah? Yeah, well, that's only the first part of it. Second part of it is even better. And it keeps going. You got Fed rules, just be careful about breaking the bank. That's one article I've been reading. Then you got the Bank of Herd Animals. That's the second article on this page. And then the third one, never too rich to disappear. So anyway, days of easy money are back. In a perverse way, the banking blowout may make the job, Fed's job, easier. The banking shock might do more to tighten credit conditions, thus cooling spending investment, than Fed's previously planned rate hikes. Depositors are pulling money from banks. I want to say it again. Depositors are pulling money from banks, which is simultaneously tightening their own wallets by restricting the access to credit. Depositors are pulling money from the banks. Think about that for a minute. And then you got being the bank of startups, probably got you invited to fancy parties, but the business was rickety. That's the Bank of Herd Animals, okay? Chinese billionaires keep vanishing. They go hide in the woods and don't come back out. Now, in some ways, I've been playing games a little bit with some of these subjects, and yet I don't know if anybody keeps an eye on things, However, there is a serious problem coming up. The European Union's banks aren't doing any better than our small banks. Now, think about that. And our small banks ain't doing anybody any favors. So I want to express this very simply. As I have stated over the years, get your money out of the bank. Do it now. Keep it out. Get a safe, you know, and bolt it to the wall or something. But don't leave your money in the bank. And the reason I say that is that anything of value, whether it's in a safety deposit box or a bank account or whatever, belongs to the bank. Ooh, it ain't yours. Ooh. You talk about painful. What happens when you really do need the cash and the bank won't give it to you? So I've had people already run across that problem. And it can't be any fun, no matter how you slice it. So get your money out of the bank while you still can. Take everything you got to have except what you're going to leave in there to pay bills with. Take the rest of it out. Cash in fist is something you can use. Cash in the bank is something you can maybe write a check for if somebody is willing to accept the check. Ah, yeah. Fun and games. So, you've got all of these problems going on, and there is a couple of issues I look at that are really something. Let's see if I can find that. Let's see here. Can I find that? Is this it? I'm going to try to play this song. Ah, good. I'm going to play it loud so that everybody can hear it. It's called You Are the Resistance. I don't have it downloaded yet. Thank you. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed that. I hope you could hear that. And if you can't, I'm going to have it downloaded here in a little bit. But here's the thing. We are very close to going over the cliff. And it's a monetary cliff. And if we don't get our stuff together in the very near future, not very much of anything is going to matter. So what you need to do is put this out. Get this out to people. Make sure they hear that they shouldn't keep their money in the bank and all that. And we can go from there. Until that happens, I need you to spread this thing all over the place. you know, like free beer or whatever. And do me the favor of going out there and getting it done.